in the middle, isn't it? That is sin ultimately. Putting myself first in the middle of everything. So I thank God tonight that I stand here as a man who is forgiven, who is not under the curse of the law, but is under the blessing of grace. That I know every day when I muck it up, I have a place that I can come and say, God, forgive me. And the amazing thing is, he says, I already have, Paul. God, do you remember when I did that? No, I didn't. No, I don't. No, I can't remember, Paul. So I am grateful tonight that I am a man who stands before God as the righteousness of Christ himself. Amen for that. Anybody who doesn't know that tonight, you're missing out. If you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, made him the center, not I, but him, you're missing out tonight. And I plead with you tonight, do not leave here without making that decision to say, God, be the center of my life. And if you don't do it tonight, I pray that God gives you a sleepless night, if I can say that nicely. I pray that God speaks to you. I pray that God troubles you. I pray that God challenges you. I pray that God woos you. Because he is wonderful and he is worthy of it all. That was nothing to do with what we're going to talk about tonight, by the way. That was all for free. Eric's already paid enough money for me to be here tonight. The helicopter and everything. So we're looking at a couple of things here. So we've been journeying through this book of Deuteronomy. I have to be honest with you, I have never preached from Deuteronomy before. And when Eric phoned me and said, you know that you're doing chapters 27 and 28. And I read it and I said to Karen, oh crikey. I was going to pretend I'd broken my leg or, you know, I'd broken my jaw and I couldn't speak or something. And get John to do it or something like that. But it's an incredible book, isn't it? Because there are some very simple things in this, but some very profound things. So we're looking here at Moses writing to the Israelites, not writing even, speaking to the Israelites. And there's a theme that goes through this, and it is this: obey God. Do his commandments. It's going to be all right for you. Not even all right. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Life is going to be good. I am going to absolutely overwhelm you with blessing. And Moses is just trying to keep putting into the memory, because he knows what they've been like in the wilderness. These 40 years that should have taken about 11 days was about 35, 40 miles or something. I can't remember the exact distance now. But Moses has seen when they started building the calf and they started doing all these things. He knew what their nature was to stray from God, not to follow these commandments of God. So he keeps coming to them, speaking to them. So we get to the point now, this is the third proper time now that Moses is having a conversation with the Israelites. His second one finished in chapter 26. So we're coming to chapter 27 and 28. And Moses is again. I can hear the Israelites, like with Eric, oh, not grace again. Oh, please, come on, do me a favour. Speak about something else. I'm ready for nodding off. But Moses knew this was vital as they were getting ready to go into the primary, to go into the promised land. So let's read Deuteronomy chapter 27, starting with verse 1. Then Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you today. So it shall be on the day when you cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones and coat them with lime and write on them all the words of this law. When you cross over, so that you may enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. So it shall be when you cross the Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Ebal. these stones as I am commanding you today, and you shall coat them with lime. Moreover, you shall build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not wield an iron tool on them. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer on it burnt offerings to the Lord your God. And you shall sacrifice peace offerings and eat there, and rejoice before the Lord your God. You shall write on the stones all the words of this law very distinctly. Another word that's used, I think, in the English Standard Version, which I like better, is very plainly. Better, that, isn't it? Do you think, John? Better. See, he's got a proper Bible. There's a proper Christian. Plainly. Can I tell you something, just as a little aside? You know, I heard somebody say to me just in the week, somebody had said to them they couldn't really understand the Bible properly like they could because they'd not been to college. What a load of poppycock. I apologise for that word, by the way. What a load of rubbish. And especially if they want to go into ministry and be a blessing and to serve others, that they've got to have a degree in theology. They've got to go to this particular college. Well, can I tell you something? I might as well sit down now because I'm disqualified straight away. I don't have a formal qualification to my name. I remember somebody coming to me in Kenya and saying, there was a compliment here somewhere. They said, that sermon, it was at the Nazarene University. The only people who had ever spoken there before normally had a PhD. And at least one of these, PhD, said, I've got a PhD of life. I don't know about anything else. And they came and they said to me, do you know that was one of the best sermons I have ever heard? I was just about to start feeling really good about myself. And they said, what's even more amazing is that you've got no education. I'm sure there was a compliment there somewhere. My friend Joseph just looked at me and do you know what? I'll take it. Plainly. Let's make God's word easy to understand. It's not just for the scholars. It's not just for the scholars. It's for everybody to understand. Let us make a habit of going deep into God's word. Watch it change our lives. What is the primary requirement that Moses is trying to tell us here? Keep the commandments which I've commanded you today. I mean, look, some people have said I've gone to college and got a PhD to know this. To read this, to be tens of thousands of pounds in debt when they leave college, to tell you, keep all the commandments. Keep all the commandments which I command you today. It's there. In Deuteronomy 27 verse 1, it's profound stuff. A biblical faith is not about what we give or sacrifice, but it's about putting God's word into practice. Do you know? I can give money to charity. I've heard this. I give money to charity. Do you know what? I'm going to sacrifice going watching Man United. Recently, it's not been much of a sacrifice, has it? But do you know, if I don't put God's word into, I can give as much money, I can give millions to charity. I can give up going watching United. I can sacrifice things that are really important to me. But if I am not obeying and following what God's word says in every aspect of my life, it means nothing to him. I might as well not have bothered in the first place. So when did this actually happen? So if we're trying to find when the Israelites were going into the promised land, in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, and you're thinking, Paul, he talks rubbish, because they're not building any altar there. They're not writing any laws or anything. Well, it's actually a few months, just coming to a few months later, in Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 to 35. And if you read that, we're not going to get turned to every scripture just for the sake of time. A couple of things I want to do at the end. Make time for that. But Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 to 35, you will read exactly these things that Moses was talking about. Do you know, I've actually really enjoyed doing this. I've actually learned some things I didn't know. Or kind of knew, but never really thought about. It's been absolutely wonderful. So thank you, Eric. I wasn't saying that at first when I was starting to read, cursed is this and cursed is that. I wanted to book a holiday. Oh, Lord, help us. Why might it be significant that they were commanded not just to erect the stones of the law, but to also build an altar? Can I tell you something? It reinforces the fact that the law brings condemnation. But the altar meets the needs of a condemned sinner. Isn't it wonderful that wherever there is law, there is sin? Wherever there is sin, there is the cross. And if we just look at 2 Corinthians, just to know there's actually some truth in this. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, it will tell us. Chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Amen for that. Are we glad tonight that we live under that? The ministry of grace? As I've said, I'd be in a lot of trouble if this wasn't the case. What is the purpose of having both burnt offerings and peace offerings? I'm sorry if I'm telling people everything you already know tonight, but it's been good for me anyway. So I might give myself an offering. Burnt offerings deal with sin. And they were given whole to God. So the Israelites would come, they would bring their sacrificed animal dead, and God would get the whole amount. This was wholly given to God. Peace offerings would celebrate our forgiveness and our reconciliation back to God. Communion, is that what we've just done tonight? God, you are amazing. And this sacrifice, the peace offering, will be partly eaten by the Israelites. We've just done that tonight. I see the burnt offerings as a picture of Christ's complete sacrifice on our behalf. And the peace offerings a reminder that he has reconciled us into right relationship with himself, communion with him. This word keeps popping up, doesn't it? Romans chapter 5 verse 1, I believe, tells us, trying to do this by memory so we don't keep going there. So any of you scholars can correct me. Anybody who's been to college or something. Oh Lord, I'm being naughty. Now that I have been justified through faith, I now have peace with God through Christ. Did I get that right, John? Amen. Now that I have been justified through obeying the law, going to church enough, praying enough, reading my Bible enough, giving to charity enough, sacrificing enough. It's there, is it? Now that I've been justified by faith, what Luther was willing to die for in the Great Reformation, justified by grace. Amen for us that we are justified by grace. Do you know, this is not just about hearing God's word. It's not good enough. I want myself and I want us to be doers of his word. If we look at chapter 27, verses 9 to 10. Then Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all Israel, saying, be silent And listen, O Israel, this day you have become a people to the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the Lord your God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. Couple of things I want to look at there. What is the difference, as we see there, just at that verse 10? What is the difference between a commandment and a statute? So I had to kind of look at this properly. So we can go into real detail here, but we've not got time. So a commandment is a thing that God wants us to do. The statute is the practical thing of how we go about doing it. Now that's quite a basic way of explaining it, but that's kind of the basic thing. What is it we're meant to do? How do we go about doing it? We're in verse 11. Moses also charged the people on that day, saying, when you cross the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. For the curse, these shall stand on Mount Ebal. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali. The Levites shall then answer and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed is the man who makes an idol or molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. So there were plenty who on the outward were looking like they were following God, but in secret they were actually not, and they were doing naughty things. Do you know it's the same for us today? Scripture says that we can have a form of godliness but deny its power. Let me not let any of us be those who are doing one thing in public, another thing in private. I feel challenged now. 16. Cursed is he who dishonors his father and mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Are we in a day where that's not really encouraged now, to honour your mother and father? Children have lots of rights now, and one of them is they're told they don't need to listen to their mum and dads anymore because they don't know anything. Children can do what they like. Can I tell you something? It's a curse. And it's a curse to children. It's not empowerment. It's not this diversity, and it's a load of rubbish. Children need to listen to their parents. Can I also say, as adults, as parents, we need to be making sure that our children never hear us saying anything negative to our spouse in their presence, ever. Ever, ever, ever. We are only to say good things. If we want them to honour us, let's honour one another and let's honour them. Serious, serious stuff. I'm going to cut down to some other stuff here now. Cursed is he who misleads a blind person on the road, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who distorts the justice, Jew and alien, orphan and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. 20, verse 20. Cursed is he who lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with any animal, and all the, says this here, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father or of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. I think we get the gist of what is kind of being said here. One of the interesting things I've learned just while I've been studying this was there a pattern to the way the tribes were set out. So you had where are we going here? Let's just see. So we had the tribe. One of the interesting things, the tribes that were to stand on the side of Gerizim, were there, Gerizim, to proclaim the blessings, were the children, the direct children of Rachel and Leah. So they were to pronounce the blessings. The ones who were on the side of the curses were the children of Zippah and Bilhah. Do you know what really struck me? Isn't it interesting? The children that were of Rachel and Leah, the natural, the correct bloodline, done in the right way, were to proclaim the blessings. The children of Zippah and Bilhah, where Jacob had had a bit of "How's your father?" with others than other than his wife, were to pronounce the curses. Do you know, it amazes me how God works and how there is an order to things. I want to ask something here. Why do you suppose that none of the blessings are recited here? I think it's probably an illusion, actually, that the law ultimately brings a curse and not a blessing. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and just kind of write these down, 7 to 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. I think explains amazingly the contrast between the ministry of the law and the ministry of grace. Can we categorize the people that are listed in these curses? Neighbor, blind person, alien, orphan, widow. I think what God is really looking at here is relationships we have with people. So we're looking at the stranger, and we're looking at the orphan, and we're looking at the widow. He's telling God how we are to deal in our obedience to him, how we are to deal with some of the most vulnerable people we have in society. Can I ask us a question tonight? Is it possible to be in a right relationship with the Lord without obedience to his word? Is it? Answer me. 26 says, 27 verses 26, "Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of his law by doing them, and all the people shall say, Amen." How are we doing? Hey, we're getting into chapter 28 now. We're getting there, Eric. Right, let's read 28, 1 to 14. "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, be careful to do all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord." These blessings are not going to just catch us up, but they're going to overtake us and they're going to be ahead of us. And wherever we're going in life, and whatever we're doing, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed. "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall be you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way, and they will flee before you seven ways." So they're coming to attack you one way. They're going to scatter all over the shop. The Israelites are going to give them a right good hiding. It's a good Salfordian way of putting it. "The Lord will command blessing upon your barns and in all that you put your hand to." This is verse 8. "And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you." God is saying, you do this. I'm giving you this land. Nobody can stand in my way. It's going to happen. I want to look at some things here just very quickly. Number one, blessed are you in the land, blessed you are in the country. Wherever the Israelites go, whatever circumstances they find themselves in, God is saying, you're going to be blessed. in our personal relationships or in our business dealings and work relationships, such as the ground, the herd, the flock, basket, beast. You're going to be blessed in all your business dealings. You're going to be blessed in all your work relationships. We as God's people can be blessed in our work relationships and our business dealings. How? If we live according to God's word and we do it his way. But what was the ultimate motive for God in this? We find it in verse 9 of chapter 28. Establish you as a holy people to himself, so all the peoples of the earth will see. It's glory for himself. I've heard John Piper say that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. I really like that. This is what this is all about. For his glory. For him to be glorified. Why does he want to bless us? Or why does he want the nations to see? Because they want him to see. He wants them to see. He is good. And he longs to bless his children. And his heart is desperate to bless his children. If we do it his way, it's a pleading with us. Do you know, I once shared a message called the demeaning God, not the demanding God. How God demeans himself to come and relate with us, but he doesn't demand. I don't know how that sounds. We've got into some curses here now. So God is saying, you do it my way. In everything you do, all aspects of life, it's going to be good. But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So as you start to read 16 through to 30 there, and more, it's an antithesis of basically what God was saying to us, if we do the right things and we're going to be blessed in our coming and our going, we'll be blessed in all aspects of our life. God is telling us you're going to be cursed in all aspects of your life. It says just down here, you will be caught up. It will catch you up. It will overtake you. Do you know if we do not live our lives according to God's word, it will catch us up and it will overtake us. And no matter where we find ourselves going, we're going to have problems. Because we're not living according to God's word. Just as signs and wonders which the Israelites had in the wilderness through all this time to show how God will bless us and will be an example to the nations. Do you know when we're under God's curse? It's also an example to the nations. Do you know I have friends coming from, I think, every continent of the world? And I've had them coming from Brazil and Africa and places like this. And when they've come to move here, because God has called them here, do you know, this is the truth, isn't it, John? Is this. They come and they think, we thought we were coming to a Christian nation. And it's not. And we understand now why we come. And they've not come here to get richer. And to live in a nice big house. They have come because God has called them to come and put back something which we brought to them. They understand now. They thought they were coming to a Christian nation. I believe this nation today, in a number of ways we kind of, in the laws that are being enacted, same-sex marriage, the way we say we can just sleep with somebody we're not married to, it doesn't matter who, doesn't matter how many, that we can take the Lord's Prayer out of Parliament and schools, that we don't have to honour God. They're now saying we're reaping the consequences of this. It's like a curse because we're not honouring God's word. God bless them for coming to us and helping us. We need them. We welcome them. Can we see, just as we're reading down here, when you go home this week, read these two portions of scripture, chapter 27 and 28. You'll see what I'm saying. Have you noticed a pattern for the opening of each section we have studied in these chapters? Verse 58 of chapter 28. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this honoured and awesome name, the Lord your God. Isn't it amazing? Every portion of this scripture, as it's broken up, Moses is saying, obey the Lord your God, fear the Lord your God, do his commandments. Blessed will you be, cursed will you be. Can you hear Moses' heart pleading with the people? When you get into the land, this is what you must do. I want to apply just a very, very quickly a couple of Eric's saying that's not him. I didn't think it was. I want to apply very quickly. Can I ask you a question? Are we making sense what we're talking about here? Is there a thread here? Yeah. I've found it difficult preparing this one, but I've really enjoyed it. Learned lots. I want to look at two or three practical things in response to this. Number one, we've shared what is the greatest commandment. It says about not bowing the knee to any idol, but first and foremost, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is what we as his people are to look like. That we are to obey him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, what we'll tell you that as well is if you look in, I think it's in John chapter 14, 23 to 24, basically says, if you say you love me, then obey me. If we don't obey him, we can't say we love him. It doesn't go together. Now, some people might want to get upset with me about that. Don't take issue with me. Take issue with this. Go and talk to God about it. If we say we love him and we're not living our lives as a reflection of that, you're not telling the truth. You're deluding yourself, my friends. I am deluding myself. Number two, we've talked a lot about obeying his commandments, obeying his word. Do you know the word of God is the most beautiful thing that exists in regards to literature? It is stunning. It is awesome. It is life-changing. Two or three things very quickly on that. When Eric and John primarily want to bang on about the Bible and share all kinds of teachings and things, do you know they don't do it just for something else to do because they're bored? I think I once heard a preacher say I had an option, Blackpool, suicide, or come here and do this message today. I once heard somebody, I'm not going to say who because you'll know them, and I'll have grassed them up. They do this because they love God and they love you guys. Can I say in line with that? When we come to church, let's not be on our mobiles. Let's not be on our iPads. Because it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful. It offends me. I believe it's not right before God. Now, the leaders have not put me up to this, by the way. I might be speaking out of turn. I might be sounding a bit harsh or whatever. Don't be on your iPads. Do not be spending the whole service using it as a social club and talking about the weather and where we're going on holiday or whatever. Let us honour God's word. Let us never tire of true men of God and women of God wanting to share the word of God with us because it's for our best. And lastly on this, there's so many things in this, so many things. Build me an altar. You know, wherever there is sin, there is the cross. Two things I want to talk about tonight. One is if there are people who are living in sin tonight and who do not know and have never experienced the amazing message and power of this cross, of Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ, can I tell you, no matter how good you think you are or matter how bad you think you are, I was very bad. You might not believe it in how nice I look now, but I was very bad. I was a naughty, naughty boy. My mum's nickname for me was Satan. That is an absolute truth. And that was when she was being nice to me. There is a cross. And we don't have to go through all kinds of rituals to be right with God. We don't have to lay our lives down to get into paradise like some religions believe. Do you know what? There's a man who has already laid his life down so that we can believe and have eternal life. And this altar that is called the cross. Can I say, if there is anybody here tonight, something Steph talked about, and I was praying about which way to go on this. Because I wanted to talk about prayer and worship, which I have a bit of a bias about. But this, if there's anybody here tonight who can identify with some of the things we've talked about, maybe sexual impurity. It may be that somebody's committed sexual impurity against ourselves. It may be that there's somebody we can't forgive. Maybe there's somebody who can't forgive us. There is this altar that we can come to and we can be forgiven. Right now, right at this moment in time, not tomorrow, not in a week's time, not 1,000 Hail Marys, not 1,000 chapters of the Bible, not going talking to a priest, but there's one we can come before tonight, right now, and say, God, I've messed up. God, I've even felt like it's not worth being living. I can't live with myself because of how I feel inside. God, would you please help me? Would you please forgive me? I want to come to you. I want to live this life. I don't want to be under a curse. I want to be under your grace and under your blessing, God. If that speaks to anybody tonight, come and have a chat with some of the leaders or whoever. I need to finish now. But thanks again for listening. I hope it's been a blessing. Let's be a people who love God with everything, who will honour his word and see our society transformed by its power. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.